Thank you very much for coming to the gospel meeting or either staying for the meeting. And I realize that there are still some here that have considerable driving distance and you've stayed to be with us for this gospel meeting. And we appreciate that very much. Two items that have been lost, the little bag here of candies that didn't get consumed in the afternoon meeting, so it must have been a good one. Anyhow, these are available. And there is a set of General Motors keys here that have been found, and maybe you're not going to go too far without those. And I will leave them right up here on the podium, and you can claim those after this meeting is concluded. Thank you for coming, and this meeting has really been set aside for the preaching of the gospel, and with God's help, that's exactly what I would like to do. Preach it in fellowship with God, in the fear of God, and preach it ultimately for your blessing. I want to read, first of all, either with you or to you from the book of Job. Way back in the Old Testament, just before the Psalms, is the book of Job. And chapter 9, and verse 1. Then Job answered and said, I know it is of a truth. And now the question, but how should a man be just with God, or how can a man be right with God? Now if we go to the New Testament, we will find out how a man can become right with God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And verse number 14. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross, that word for preaching is really the word, it's neos. The word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, because Christ was the word, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I am not too sure how familiar or unfamiliar you might be with the word saved, but it is a word that is often used in our Bible. There are people that treat it like it was some distant, remote, isolated word or truth, and it's not really relevant to the Bible. The word saved is used enough times in your Bible that you could put it once on every page of it. It's that important. Here's the Apostle Peter. Listen to what he says. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, why must we be saved? It's because we are lost. And the reason that we are lost is because somehow, some way, as very clearly given to us in the Bible, we have become disconnected. The man in Job chapter 9 is asking a very important question. It's this. He understood this. Somehow, I have got to be right with God. It wouldn't matter which church building you went to, church gathering you went to today or any other time. By and large, they will tell you that you've got to be right with God. Now, the great question is, how can you be right with God? That's his question. How can you become connected with God? So that this cross that we, the cross of Christ that we read about in the New Testament, has meaning to you. If I was to go into an airport or wherever and sit down beside someone and say, what's the cross mean to you? Basically, people don't know because it doesn't have a lot of meaning to them. I asked a man one time, wearing one around his neck, very as easy as I could. I said, if you don't mind me asking you, sir, well, what's that really mean? He says, I really don't know. Obviously, it was, and I'm not condemning people that are wearing them or not wearing them, but obviously it had no relevance to him or his experience. It was something of ornamental value. Now, when I'm talking about the cross of Christ tonight, I am not preaching about something of ornamental value. Something that has been gilded in gold, something that has been built and is on the walls of people's houses, on the dash of their car, wherever it might be, or on the building. That's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about the man, Christ Jesus, that came from heaven, died on the cross, so you, a guilty sinner, so myself, the same, could become connected with God. Now, not so much anymore. I know in the, some of us in those early days of email and getting connected and that, at least from my own experience, it was, especially when I was going to the UK, or the further away from home, the more important it was. But it's interesting. I'm not sure which was the carrier at the time, but you had this little icon. It was like a telephone pole is what it was to be, as symbolic of that. And on my computer, it literally lit up once you were connected. And we just kind of look down that screen, you know how it is, and you'd see it. And I can remember what my first time really being way over in the UK, and I thought I was on the other side of the world, which really I wasn't, but I thought I was, and trying to get connected with home. And finally, it floated down there, and a little word came above it and said, connected. And I went, yes. Now, let me tell you where man became disconnected with God. That's way back in the beginning of time. Way back in the book of Genesis. Here's man, Adam by name, and his wife, and they heard from God, and they had communion with God, and they were, so to speak, connected with God. Why weren't they? They were connected with each other because God had made them that way, and they were connected with God. But because of the serpent, the devil that came into that scene and started to introduce another voice and another idea, man literally listened to that voice instead of the voice of God, and maybe even unbeknown to him at the moment, a tremendous severance took place. There was a tremendous breakdown in communications. I have friends of mine that live on the East Coast, known to a lot of the Christians here, that worked in the fiber optic world, laying cables of very costly fiber optics. And that's why the AT&T, your Verizon, and all these companies invariably on your newspaper will have these ads and various mediums, and they'll say this: call before you dig. Disconnection is a costly business. And due to a strike back our way, some men got into one of these main junctures and took a chainsaw and literally sawed through those fiber optic cables. It literally disconnected large buildings, office buildings, for days. We're literally, technically, in a blackout mode. It's costly business. But I want to tell you, my friend, the most costly business for you, even though you were not in the Garden of Eden, the most costly business for you would be to die in that state of disconnect. And never to be able to connect with God again. And to have to die in your sins and go down to hell. The value of connection. Of course, who wouldn't remember that unforgettable day, that Tuesday, down in Haiti, when that tremendous earthquake took place? What caught my attention was really a U.S. Air Force major by the name of Ken Borland from Florida. Ken had gone down there on training with the Air Force, and what he was really taking, ironically, was a course for preparation for disaster. He's leading a team down there, and he was staying in the Montana Hotel. His wife Peggy was right back here in southern Florida with her two children, a little three-year-old boy Charlie, a little girl Elizabeth, and the last message that she had from her husband, simply because of telephone issues, they were using email. And he just written, he says, I'm settled down for the night. Everything's good. And he said, really looking forward to the course. Met a lot of nice people. So I trust you all well back at home. And they'd only been married 5 years. A very close couple. Just something touching about the email. And she rattled it off like this. And so he says goodbye. He says, hope to hear from you. That happened to be at 10 minutes to 5. The children were just kind of wanting some kind of entertainment. And at that moment, Peggy went over to switch the television to cartoons. While she was switching it to cartoons, it went across that television screen, earthquake. And she thought, Peggy Borland thought, oh no, did California get it again? And before she had the channel changed, it said something like Haiti. She said, what? And she turned it back and saw that big red banner, breaking news. What do you think she did? She immediately went back to that laptop in her own words, with trembling hands that could hardly punch the keys. And she says, Ken, just write me back if you're okay. Peggy isn't heard yet. I will likely never hear. That devastating earthquake, I saw pictures, I just researched it myself, saw pictures of that beautiful Montana hotel, one of the most beautiful in the country. Saw it lay there in rubbles and ruin. And to think there was a loving father promising that when we get back, we're going out for anniversary. All the things we're going to do after this disaster course is over. And there's no communication. A call never came. How about you in this meeting tonight? Do you understand, my friend, the importance of you in your life having a moment, something you can't put a price on, when you are connected with Christ? And the means by which he has made it possible for you to become connected with him is that he actually went to a place called Calvary and he died on the cross, shed his blood, gave his life so that you could be brought back to God. You know, this man didn't give up on this. When he discovered, well, listen, I'm not connected here. He didn't give up. A lot of people come to gospel meetings and they hear the gospel preached and they say, that was good. I should look into that. But that's it. Wonder what you're like tonight. I wonder if there's something in your thinking that's this, hey, listen, there is something desperately missing in my life. I have no Savior. I've never been connected. You could be connected with the church. You could be connected with any given religion. You could be connected with a community and very fine and very respected, loved by your family, all these commendable qualities. But if ever you're going to be in heaven, my friend, you've got to be connected with the Lord Jesus. And the only way you can be connected with him is through the cross, through his death. That's what Job says. One day he cried out in his desperation. He said, neither is there a man that might lay his hand upon us both and bring us together. He is longing for that day's man. He understood that he was sinful. He's vile. He says that in chapter 7 and again in chapter 9. And he longs for someone, and there was none as far as he was concerned to do it. But you know, that man didn't give up. You go to chapter 19, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. But he hadn't died yet. By faith, Job trusted and he believed God. And he was connected. Now come to the New Testament. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's writing back to people that he had preached the gospel to. These people knew what the gospel was. They knew what it meant to be saved. Do you know what it means to be saved tonight? There's people I'm likely speaking to. You know what it means to be saved, but you've never experienced it. You're not saved. Terrible to die in that state. Terrible to die and go down to hell in that awful condition. Not saved. These people, for whatever reason, Paul is not literally giving us all the teaching we have about baptism and drawing a line through it. Nor reading it is he really playing on a bad memory. He can't remember who was baptized, who wasn't. But what he is telling them is this, that the thrust of what he is preaching is Christ crucified. That God sent his son into this world that we were hearing about last night in the gospel reading here. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now listen what he says here. He says, Christ sent me not to baptize but to preach the gospel. Not with the wisdom of men's words lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And I love it. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Our boys, I used to say that until I realized I'm older than he is. I used to say they have an old fellow that works for them. And his name is Emery, and he works, he's been with them for a number of years, laid off in the winter time. And whenever he's with me, Emery's in religion mode. You know, everything he talks about is the religion. He thinks it'll make me happy. So I was in a truck one day, and we were coming back. We picked up something somewhere. I must have been home for a couple of days, and we're coming. I remember, I could take you to it right now. And there's a little church building out in the country, a place called Jemseg. And they have this big illuminated red cross on it. And we came around the corner, Emery says, isn't that beautiful? I said, Emery, what do you mean by that? Isn't that beautiful? What do you mean by that? Well, he says, you know what I mean. He says, you should know. I said, what do you mean when you say that is beautiful? I said, I'm not putting you down. You know, he put his head down. He said, I know. He said, but churches have it, don't they? That's not what I'm talking about, friend. That man has sat in gospel meetings since. Still not saved as far as I know. But what's it mean to you? Not that illuminated cross. Not something that you will see on, is it interstate, don't get me right on my interstates now, in west of Amarillo, Texas, 91 or one of those going through there. I remember driving a truck the boys had bought in Phoenix, Arizona. Brian Bingham, Mr. Bill Bingham's grandson, was with me. Driving along, I'd read about it, I'd talked about it, I'd never seen it. Remember the sun was just going down there in the west, and we were traveling, and it started to get dark, and I looked up and I said, Brian, there it is. There it is. He's what? We saw the long trains going through Texas and everything else there is in that big Lone Star State. But as we got near, it was something. Just watch it towering in the sky. Was it 82 feet high? It has a beam span of 47 feet. A little church building out the base. Light shining up on it. Huge cross. That's interesting. I think that day on that interstate, I was the only one looking at it. Everybody else was passing me and meeting me. But you know, it wasn't always like that. Do you know when they first erected that cross? That's why I'm telling you. When they first put that cross up, people were distracted by it. People weren't watching the road. The authorities were concerned. Now, nobody was attracted to it. But people would look at it. Whether they thought about their church or thought about God, I don't know. And you know, after a while, people started measuring everything where they lived by the cross. They'd say, listen, you want the exit? Pass the cross. As soon as you pass the cross, next exit, turn off. But now it has no meaning at all. My friend, I am talking not even so much if we could find it. The actual cross beam and the pole itself on which the Christ was crucified. But I'm talking of the death which he died by. Sin had to be put away. Sin is a terrible thing. It has literally caused that tremendous separation between God and man. And the result of it is that you, my friend, to die, never coming to appreciate, never coming to make that call to heaven. Oh God, save me. That's what Peter said. Lord, he said, save me. That was the blind man that cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Never mind, as we were hearing from Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, he got beyond that. He gave him the best he knew. If you're going to turn to that blind man likely that we're hearing so clearly about yesterday and said, in what way is he the son of David? He shrugged his shoulders. But he would call him by the very best he could. Was he heard? He was heard. You want to be saved in this gospel meeting tonight? Romans chapter 10 makes it very clear. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, I was thinking this the other day. Calls that are just ever made. Some of the hard calls we've made in life. Likely the hardest call I ever made in life. I was just thinking of it here just a while ago. Because we're coming up on soon the 10th anniversary. It was on her birthday. February the 22nd. And I stood there in the kitchen in a home in Northern Ireland. There's my mother laying on that floor, got home to heaven. She literally died in my arms. What do you do now? You call the family. That's a hard call. to tell them to see her again, not here. But you know, in that same country, I should have kept it for what it was worth. They gave me a little cell phone while I was there. I can take you to spots along the roads, different places where that phone would ring. And different ones would call and say, I've gotten saved, Mr. McCandless. Just trusted Christ. I'm connected. I'm linked. The night that I trusted Christ as my Savior, maybe I wasn't thinking so much about that. But I was just appreciating the truth of Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Listen, my friend. God is seeking in this meeting tonight, and He's seeking you or you wouldn't even be here. Wants to save you. Wants you to come to know His Son as Savior. And we're here to tell you tonight that the only one, my friend, that can save you and give you eternal life and take you to heaven when it comes to the end of life itself is the man that died on Calvary's cross. Those paramedics said to me that day, they said, Mr. McCandless, my mother passed away. If you don't mind, just step out in the kitchen. We're going to take... They said, your mother, but it wasn't my mother. It was just her body out to the ambulance. I said, can I just have a minute? They said, you can have as long as you want, sir. I went over and I bent down, gave her a kiss she never felt, and I'll never forget. What was I thanking her for? That she told me, because I used to ask her, like we were here at this conference time and again, Mom, how did it happen? How did you get saved? How'd you come to know the Savior? I'd listen to it, and it'd be somewhere I'd lose her there. I thank God. I have no doubt where she was. What about you, friend? What about you tonight? If you died, where would you be? Very clearly in this chart, there's a heaven and there's a hell, and everybody in the meeting is going to one or the other. Everybody. No middle place, no middle path, no middle people. What's he say? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now, it doesn't mean that people necessarily mock it or laugh at it, but it's tasteless. It has absolutely no appeal. Now, if you'd have come here this morning, and some of you were here this morning, you would have saw a number of Christians gathered right here and out through here. You know what they're doing? They're remembering someone that died on a cross for them. His name was Jesus. My friend, the message that we preach is all about Christ, all about His death, all about salvation, and how you can be saved and know for sure that you're going to heaven. And that cross will become so dear to you. That's something you'll put around your neck, but you'll thank God that He so loved you that He gave His Son to die on Calvary's cross for you. Might it be your happy experience, shall we pray? Our Father, we thank You for the gospel. We thank You for reaching us and saving us. We look into the faces of so many here tonight and bless Thee for what Thou hast done in salvation. Some, Lord, that a couple years ago we didn't even know when we came to Jackson, and God has come in and saved them. Oh, bless God. We pray that that great message of the gospel will move further into families and that others will come to know Christ as their Savior and heaven as their home. We thank Thee for this most enjoyable weekend we've had with Thy people, listening to the Word of God here in Jackson this weekend. And now as we're about to go to the basement to partake of food again, we would thank God for it. There's many that don't have it tonight and some that can't even get to it. And we thank God that we have an abundance of it. And we give thanks for the kindness of Thy people and their hospitality and their ministering to us in His name. Amen. Amen.